If you have your Bible with you, would you find our text for our brief message and our brief meditation tonight from Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. And if you need a Bible, there's one right in front of you that we'd be happy for you to use this evening. Galatians 6, 14. And I want to read this one section of this great letter written by the Apostle Paul to a number of churches in a region of the world known then as Asia Minor. We would know it today as part of modern-day Turkey. And he writes these words as he clarifies the gospel in this amazing book called Galatians. He says in this verse, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." And this is the word of the Lord, and may His name be praised. As we read the Word of God, there are some strange things that we encounter from time to time. And some are very strange indeed. You might remember there's a story in the book of Joshua where one day the sun literally stood still. And I can't explain that, and you scientists and experts out there and astrophysics and things like that, I'm sure you don't have an explanation either. But there it is in the Word of God that the sun stood still by the command of God. Strange thing. There's strange stuff happening in the New Testament as well. Our Lord Jesus once healed a man who was deaf and also afflicted with a speech impediment. And Mark tells us how unusual it was, how strange this healing was, that Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears and after spitting, touched his tongue. And that's a strange thing in the Bible, isn't it? And there are some things that are said in the Bible that are very strange indeed. And many of these come from the mouth of Jesus. For example, in Luke 14, Jesus says something strange. We would call this one of the hard sayings of Jesus. He said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and his wife and children and brothers and sisters and even his own life, he can't be my disciple." And it's odd to hear the Lord Jesus speak of hating people, but there he does, a very strange verse. And then there's that passage in Matthew where Jesus says, "Follow me and let the dead bury the dead." And what in the world could that mean? And how strange that sounds coming from Jesus. Well, we encounter another very strange thing said here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Paul is talking about boasting in the cross. And that's a weird thing. I mean, to put it bluntly, that's just weird. It sounds so, well, crazy, actually, to boast in the cross. It's so strange that there would be a connection between the idea of bragging about something and something as disturbing as the image of a cross. That makes it a weird thing, a strange thing to say. And then there's the extreme language that Paul seems to use, and you can read this. He says, I will boast in nothing except the cross. That sounds like hyperbole, right? I mean, he can't really mean that he boasts in nothing except the cross, but there it is. And if he is being serious, what in the world could that mean? And is that true only for Paul, or should that be true for us as well? Well, let me see if I can help us out a little bit. Imagine, if you will, the Apostle Paul ministering in 2021. Now, I know that's hard, but we're going to try to lift him out of his first century context and bring him forward into the future, 2021 amongst. What would his ministry look like if he were out evangelizing the Gentiles today? What would his ministry look like? Would he make use of social media? Would the Apostle Paul, would he have a Facebook? And if he did, what would you find on his Facebook page? Well, what's on ours? Well, things we love, things we delight in, things we take pride in, things we boast in. And I would guess, and this is just pure speculation, but I would guess that if Paul lived today and if he took advantage of the technology we have, and if he indeed had a Facebook page, he would have something on that page about the cross. Maybe a picture of it. maybe a description of it, maybe an explanation of it. And this would say to the world that this is what I am most proud of. This is the thing that I boast in more than anything else. And it just seems so absurd that he glories in and would glory in something like the cross. You see, what makes this such a strange statement is that word cross. Wouldn't be strange at all if Paul had said, I boast in you, those who know the Lord. I boast in the victories God has given me over X, Y, and Z. Or I boast in my family, or whatever. But he says, I'm boasting in the cross. And that word cross makes this incredible. Cross. I boast in the cross. Now, when we hear that word, it doesn't elicit within us the kind of reaction it would have had in the first century. Over these two millennia, the word cross has, frankly, it's lost its shock value. Many of you will know the name F.F. Bruce, the great New Testament theologian and expositor, and he made a comment about this. He said, it is difficult after so many centuries to realize the unspeakable horror and loathing which the very mention or thought of the cross would have provoked in Paul's day. The word cross was unmentionable in polite Roman society. You just wouldn't say cross because everybody knew what it was. In fact, many people, maybe most people, had actually witnessed a crucifixion, and it wasn't something to talk about lightly. You didn't want to say it in front of polite company, the cross. And so he says, I boast in something so awful that no one dares speak it. Why would Paul say that? What did the cross really indicate in the minds of first century people like you and me? If they had lived now, they would be like us. They would hear the word and not think much about it. Had we been alive with them, we would have had a very different reaction. You see, the cross represented for the ancient world the worst way a human being could die. In fact, it's been described as utterly vile, and that's even a description from pagans. Utterly vile. Something a normal person would not stand to watch. You really wouldn't watch it unfold because it's just too horrible. And so that's in mind, but also what's in mind here is not just a cross. Paul is not just thinking about a cross. There were lots of crosses. Many people had been executed by the Romans. It was not just any cross, and it was not just any person on the cross, for many people had been crucified. But it was the man there on that cross. And who was that man? That man was the Son of God. That man was innocent. Everybody else who hung on the cross was allegedly guilty of their crimes. But this man not only was not guilty of any crime against the Roman government or any crime against Judaism, he was sinless before God. And so no one like him, and there was only one like him, deserved that. In the passage we've just confessed that we believe, Philippians 2, again, we're reminded that he, Jesus, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. What makes that so amazing is that he did not deserve that. And so this is in the mind of Paul when he says, I boast in the cross. Think about those words we just read from Isaiah, centuries before Jesus came, and think about the words that describe what happened to Jesus on the cross. He was smitten by God. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, numbered with the transgressors. It pleased God to crush him. The cross is offensive. It was offensive then. It's offensive now. And when we really begin to think about what it means, it ought to be really offensive. It's been said that the cross tells us something very unpalatable about ourselves. I'm forgetting all of the details, but if you like science fiction movies, there was a movie many years ago The name has escaped me. I should have written it down. But it was about a police unit in the future that would investigate crimes that you were going to commit in the future. Some of you might remember. I think I knew it wasn't Hanks. And in that movie, there's an interesting scene. There's a scene where citizens are walking through this futuristic city, and there are billboards, and they are very high-tech billboards. And when you walk by the billboard and you look at it, the billboard looks back at you and it speaks your name. And it says, you know, "Hey, Mike, you need a new car," or "Hey, Sally, you need this or that," and it would aim its message directly at you, making some kind of a connection. And maybe we're not too far off from that anyway these days. But you know, that's what the cross does. When you look at the cross, it shouts something back at you. You see, the reason that we don't like the cross, as we look at it with its real meaning in view, is that it says something about us. You know, the Apostle Paul, the man that we're quoting tonight, will say the cross, the message of the cross, is such an offense to the world. Now, why? Because it says something about us. It tells me I'm not okay. It tells me that not only am I not okay, but I'm not okay with God. And I'm accountable to God, and I'm a sinner. And sinners must die, and they deserve eternal wrath. That's what the cross shouts at me, that I am not right with God. And to be right with God, I can do nothing about that. I'm helpless, I'm powerless, I'm incapable of fixing my brokenness, my sin, my transgressions, my alienation from God cannot be fixed by me. And so the cross is an offense. And this is the thing Paul says, I boast in it. The cross, as John Stott says to each of us, "I am here because of you." It's as if Jesus from the cross says, "I am here bearing your sins. I am suffering for your debt. I'm paying for your sins by my death." And he concludes this paragraph on the cross by saying, "Nothing in history or in the universe cuts us down to size like the cross." And again, this is the thing Paul boasts in, the cross. This is the thing that he says is the only message he will preach. He says, "I am determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now, why in the world would the Apostle Paul boast in the cross? And how long has it been since we have joined him in boasting in the cross? Well, let me suggest just a few thoughts that might help us understand why the Apostle Paul would boast in this, why this would be the thing that he talks about first when he's at the party or when he's at the water cooler at the office, why this is the all-encompassing and all-compelling message that he has to sound to the world. Why? Well, first, because something happened on that cross that's really amazing. There was a great exchange. A great exchange. We just read about it a moment ago when we heard the words of absolution coming from heaven after we confessed our sins. God says that He made His Son who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So something amazing happened on that awful, terrible, horrific cross. There was an exchange. Jesus died for me. He took my sins and yours, and He gave me His innocence, His perfection. Isn't that amazing? That's something to boast about. That when Jesus died, He wasn't dying for a cause. And He wasn't dying for a mass of nameless people. He was dying for you and for me. He took our place. We call this the substitutionary death of Jesus. He died for me. As if He were me, as if He were guilty of all my sins. He took my sins in some way upon His back. And as I would cry out to God, He cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" And God forsook his son on the cross, and God sent all of hell's wrath on him on the cross in my place. Now that's something to brag about. Because of that cross, I will never know the wrath of God, ever, ever. Now that is worth bragging about. There's something else that happened on that cross. Our sins were paid for once and for all. How many people today are paying for their own sins, even if they don't believe in God? There's something within us, and we know God. Paul says in Romans 1, we know Him. There are no atheists. We know God intuitively. He built within us the knowledge that He exists. And because that's true, we have a conscience. We're made in His image. We have a conscience. And because that's true, His law is built into us. We know right from wrong. We know that because we're made in His image. And even if you don't believe in God, you spend a lot of your time trying to pay for your sins because you know you're not right. And you know you hurt other people. And you know you do things wrong. And so your whole life is spent trying to make up for what you did wrong. And you'll never do it. It'll never happen. You'll never get there. And so what happened on the cross is Jesus did what we can't do. He paid for our sins. And if you have met Him, if you know Him as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to pay for your sins. You don't have to wake up Monday and say, boy, I did so many things wrong. How can I make up for it? No. That's why there's a cross. And you are forgiven, past, present, and future. That's worth bragging about, I think. On the cross, God's holiness is displayed. Do you remember that scene from Isaiah when Isaiah's in the temple? He has a vision of Almighty God. He sees things that no one else had ever seen. The cherubim. And they are shouting, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. On the cross, that note was sounded, but in a different key, a minor key. As His Son paid the penalty that His holiness demanded. God on the cross is not doing away with justice. He is paying for sins. He is paying for your sins. But His holiness is not being trivialized. His holiness and His law is being upheld, and the sentence is being executed, and God is proven to be holy. If He weren't holy, He would have never crucified His Son. But because He's holy, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, there at the cross we see this holy God saving unholy people. That's something to brag about. On the cross, God's mercy is displayed. It's as if justice and mercy come together at the cross, and they are not opposed to one another. They kiss each other. Justice and mercy, there is mercy for sinners, getting what we don't deserve. Who deserved to have Christ die for them? Nobody. But He did. And that's what we call grace. That's mercy. And then on the cross, there was God's power displayed, but it's in disguise. Our Savior dies, and we're going to walk out tonight in a mood that's less than celebratory, because we're thinking about that tomb sealed and our Lord behind that stone. And it looks like He's been emptied of all power. His disciples flee, and they run, and they don't want to be seen. They don't want to be caught. They're afraid that they're going to be persecuted or put on trial or executed because they've been associated with Jesus. Everybody's afraid. Everybody's confused. Where's the power? But it's in disguise. Do you remember in Matthew, there's a strange account of what happened at the time of Christ's death. It's only recorded in Matthew. According to Matthew, when Jesus died, there was a massive earthquake. There had been before an unprecedented darkness that fell over the whole world. And now another incredible physical sign. He dies, and there is an earthquake. And more than that, the ground breaks open and the cemeteries break open and the graves break open and many dead saints, Old Testament saints perhaps, who had long been dead, were resurrected and went back into the city of Jerusalem. Now that's an incredible thing. It doesn't get a lot of airtime when you listen to sermons because it's only found in that one passage. And frankly, there are many skeptics who don't believe it's true. But there it is from Matthew himself. And he says, when Jesus died, there was this incredible miracle of power. The dead were raised. And there is a hint, a pretty good hint, as to what is going to come on Sunday morning. The cross of Christ was the release of God's power, the power to save, to forgive, to bring to life, to heal. And then, finally, as you know, on the day that Jesus died, the world changed forever. It changed forever. Whether you believe in Him or not, the world recognizes that it changed when Jesus died. I was reading a while back in preparation for Sunday's Easter sermon. I did not know this. And I was reading a scholar who said, there are very few, if any, scholars, meaning liberal, conservative, or in between, who doubt the historicity of the death of Jesus. Even the most intense skeptics who don't believe the Bible believe that this man Jesus died. Isn't that something? Something happened when he died. The world was changed. And the world hasn't seen anything yet. Because it's going to change again when the one who died returns. I think that's some of the reasons that Paul would say, I boast in the cross. And so we come to the point of commitment where every sermon should be going. And I want to tell you what came across my mind as I arrived at this point in my preparation. I began to think about some of the things that distinguish Christians from the world. There are many. One of those is that you're here tonight. Another is that you come and you hear the word and you celebrate the Lord's Supper and you learn God's word together and you worship. There are many, many things that separate us. We live a different way. We're walking a different pathway. We are under a different Lord than Caesar. But there's one thing that will really distinguish us, and that is what we boast in. What we boast in. Do you boast in the cross? How important is the cross to you? Where does it figure in your life? Can you say with Paul, God forbid that I would ever boast about anything or anybody except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? Father, thank you for this word. And as we continue to hear your word read, would you show us again why the cross is worthy of boasting? Why our Savior is worthy of our life and every breath and every ounce of strength. And would you empower us now to go into the world with this amazing message that the man on the cross is the only one who saves. In Jesus' name.